So it's June, time to roll down the windows and crank up the stereo, and I know what my dad is thinking. You'll destroy the air conditioning that we have spent so long to establish in this automobile. But sometimes it's worth it. Here, in 10-second bursts, are some new options on the newest of New Music Tuesdays.
Indeed. California do-it-yourselfer Amy Mann drops Smilers.
British quartet The Futureheads return with their third album of spiky pop songs. This is not the world. I can feel it. I can feel it.
I can feel it coming. I'm beginning on the twist. I can feel it. And Ladytron returns with the brooding Velocifero.
And Fleet Foo, you thought it would be the Foo Fighters, but in fact it's the Fleet Foxes.
The Fleet Foxes.
Fleet Foxes. Their self-titled, unfortunately, album, so I gotta say it twice. It's a little like my morning jacket, at least until the real thing lands next week. Let's Fleet with the Foxes right now. If you lay to die beside me, baby, on the morning that you came, would you wait? And there are also new releases from Bay Area hip-hop group Subtle R&B diva Ashanti. She has a new album. That's interesting. Mr. Gwen Stefani himself, Gavin Rossdale, and a new Now That's What I Call Music compilation. They're in the quadruple digits by now. Yes, Poison frontman and rocker of love Bret Michaels has a new album, and folky turned country chick Jewel is also coming out with a new album. But instead, we go to our own Jewel, our own Poison, here to help us make sense of the crazy mess we call New Music Tuesday, Andy Langer, the music critic for Esquire. Hey, Andy.
Hey.
All right. Let's Weezer it up to start off with. Smart rock pop darlings Weezer. They're exploring a new color in their palette. That color is red. The new album is their third self-titled album, their sixth overall album. This one will be called the Red Album because it's the band against a red background. But maybe the fans will call it a little bit of a weird album because of what's inside. So what's going on with Weezer, Andy?
Well, I mean, to borrow a Spinal Tap joke, you could call it the Brown Album.
You like it that much, huh?
No, I mean, it's this big sort of overindulgent, bloated, sophomoric at times record that's not becoming a 38-year-old, you know, songwriter who can't seem to get past mailbox bashing and lowest common denominator jokes.
Yeah, well, maybe... You know, Maybe that's the overall album, but that first single, Pork and Beans, with the video that shows all the internet friends playing along with Weezer, that's going to be a hit.
It is a hit.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, there's the, you know, Rogaine mention in there. There's the Timbaland would write me a hit mention in there, and it's a entertaining little song. Is it memorable, though? Is Pork and Beans a summer song that's going to last till next summer? Like some of these other Weezer tunes in the past, I'm not sure.
Right. Maybe it's a better video. I mean, once you have the guy who sang, what's the guy, Chocolate Rain guy, and once you have the lightsaber
Tazande,
once you have all of them reuniting to play backup band for Weezer, that thing's going to get sent around a million times. But I think maybe the song that draws the most attention to itself is something called The Greatest Man That Ever Lived, Variations on a Shaker Hymn. Tell me a little bit about this song, Andy.
Well, I mean, it's what this song doesn't do, which is not much. I mean, it just keeps changing, you know, shape, mid-sentence, mid-form, and it does a little bit of rock opera. It does a whole lot of things, not all of them particularly well, but it's definitely ambitious. And it points to what they would have liked to have been their American Idiot moment,
mm-hmm.
I think, you know, where they can unleash a rock opera and have it stand like Green Day, but it doesn't.
Well,
but,
let's hear a little bit of the song. After the havoc that I'm gonna be, no more words will critics have to speak. I've got the answers to the tangled knot. Sleep tight in your car. I've been told that I'm gone.
That's a really impressive falsetto.
Or some, yeah, what is this? You said American Idiot moment. I'm thinking maybe Bohemian Rhapsody moment. But the point is, it's ambitious but doesn't get there in your opinion?
Yeah, I mean, it's a gimmick and not a terribly good one. The Heart Songs is a different tune. It's called Heart Songs, and it's one that name-checks everybody from Gordon Lightfoot to Slayer, and it's all name-checking of bands that were influences or that, you know, Cuomo enjoys. And it's a little more interesting because at least there's, you know, names that you can relate to throughout the song. You know, there's half a great record here, and there's just half that's just really bad. And I don't know, I think you should expect more from Weezer, and Weezer's better than this.
More from a guy who writes a song called The Greatest Man That Ever Lived about himself,
exactly.
If you're going to deliver. I guess, and there answers the question, what's with these homies dissing my boy? Why do they got a front? Too ambitious. Doesn't quite get there.
You just wanted to say that.
Yeah,
I definitely did. Let's talk about Dr. John. So Dr. John's been making New Orleans-centric records for 40 years now. After Katrina hit, there was some charity work that he did and some smaller albums. But now this is a big, straightforward album called The City That Care Forgot, another ode to New Orleans. So, Andy, what does Dr. John have to add to the conversation about Katrina 3 years after?
Well, I, you know, Katrina and the, you know, its aftermath is not something that I'm not sure you can be late to that.
Yeah,
especially if you're Dr. John, because, you know, New Orleans is still obviously reeling from that. And here's the guy that you want to weigh in on it, who only, like you said, weighed in on it in little bits and pieces. And most of those were sort of, you know, celebratory, pro-New Orleans, we're going to put it back together kind of stuff at the time. And now he's angry. He's outright angry. And at one point, you know, he even says, you know, how we doing? Well, the short version is we're getting mad.
Here's Dr. John with Promises, Promises.
Promises, promises. Empty words. Empty words.
Willie Nelson we're hearing in the background there. Is this a case? Is the album, is this song, the album overall, a case of great anger leading to great art, Andy?
Yeah, there's a couple, you know, a couple cameos, Willie, Clapton, Ani DiFranco. And, yeah, I mean, it's an angry record looking for accountability, and it happens to be good art. And there's another great song on here about the second line funeral processions in New Orleans and the effort to stop those that the city government's undertaken. And there's it's sort of a fight for your right to party moment with a bunch of the New Orleans All-Stars, and it's really impressive. And the whole record, this is a record that's going to get Grammy nominations and probably win a few. And it's also a record where he calls the president a bitch.
Are they going to let him play that song in the Grammy telecast?
We'll find
out. He should refuse the nomination unless they do. Let's move on to Shearwater. Jonathan Myberg, the leader of this indie band, is really into birds. He named the band after an aquatic bird that dives into the ocean. The album's title, Rook, that's another member of the birding community. Before we get to this guy's obsession, let's hear a little bit about the music he makes. And let's hear the music right away. It's Shearwater with Rooks.
Nice
bird.
Singer.
Sure. How's it work for you, Andy?
It's good. It's a, you know, the it's sort of a low key, less bombastic Arcade Fire thing. They call it chamber pop, but it's because it uses harps and strings and woodwinds and glockenspiels. But it's sort of visionary. You know, there's something that they're working towards something here. You can feel that, even though they're sort of small songs filled with sadness. And there's only two big rock songs on the record, and believe it or not, that one we just heard is one of the big rock songs.
Oh, so it's a big rock song in a minor key.
Yeah, it's definitely an artsy record and an intimate record, but it's heartfelt, and you can feel a lot of promise. I mean, this is a band that's going to keep making records like this.
And does the fact that so many of the songs are bird-centric, is that a good thing, a bad thing, or...
As long as you like birds.
Yeah, I guess it does, right?
I mean, the rooks, that's about birds. It could be worse. I mean, he could be writing about smashing mailboxes, right?
Yeah, or he could be writing about the last Weezer album, which would be too self-reflective. All right, let's get on to the huge one, the big one. It's Journey. A couple of records came out this week that are repackaging bands we're familiar with. Yes, Radiohead now has a greatest hits album, but Journey, we got to get to Journey. The repackaging there is that Journey has a new front man. They found this guy on YouTube. Their new album has three discs, one of new material, another one with the old band with hits re-recorded by the new singer, and a DVD. Wow. So what are we going to hear? Let's hear Never Walk Away from the brand new album by Journey, Revelation.
They believe their hearts were strong, just to find it couldn't get along. The dream they shared slowly coming down. Will she go? Will she stay?
So, is Arnel Pineda good stand-in for Steve Perry? Sure, sounds like it. But does he do anything to make the band more than a nostalgia act?
I mean, the record's called Revelation, and there's not one except that Journey without Steve Perry isn't Journey.
Maybe it's a reference to the fact that in the Book of Revelation, the end is nigh.
You've got to be pretty desperate for nostalgia to be buying 11 new songs from a guy you've never heard of that they found on YouTube. 11 old songs and a live DVD featuring a guy you've never heard that they found on YouTube singing the songs that you might have already owned the albums from. To buy 11 songs with a re-recorded vocal from some guy they found on YouTube, this is a journey.
Unless the guy is Tayson Day, I would have to agree with you.
Okay, fine.
This is Journey, and Andy Langer, music critic for Esquire magazine, thank you very much.
Thank you.
That does it for this hour of the Bryant Park Project. We don't go away online. We're there all the time at npr.org/Bryant Park. Speaking of which, one more thing this week. You can tell us what you think about our show. Go to our blog and click on the little banner that says NPR Listens. We want to hear what you like, what you don't like, and also just who you are. So check it out at npr.org/blogs/Bryant Park.
Two slashes?
Two slashes. Can you handle it?
Crazy.
I'm Rachel Martin.
I am Mike Pesca, and this is the Bryant Park Project from NPR News.